You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and say, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank. Stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Somebody's here. Yeah. Solo suckage again this week with Steve Rosenblum, Rosie, enjoying a few Saturdays off. So it means half the suckage, which might be good for everybody. It's like Diet WB Club. We are half the suckage, half the bong. We are not full today because Rosie is not here, but we will push on. Yes, we will. I'm Mark Grody. I am here with you until the start of Cubs Brewers to be played at Wrigley Field today. Pregame 12:45 with Zach Zaman, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer, the Coom Dog, will have the call at 120 today. The Cubs will go for two in a row after destroying the Brewers yesterday, 15-2, in a fun game that does not need a whole lot of minutia analysis because the bats were absolutely out. We'll talk about the Cubs a little bit later on. Tom Thayer will be on the show today, Bears radio analyst and very close friends with Steve McMichael, a former teammate of Tom Thayer's on those 80s Bears and 90s Bears. They practice against each other, obviously. Tom on the offensive line, McMichael on the defensive line. They got to know each other a lot. Fair has always had huge, big-time praise for McMichael in the time that I've known Thayer and being on the Bears tour and all that. So he was the first guy that popped to my mind because McMichael, if you don't know the story, has been dealing with for about the last 3 months, has been dealing with ALS. We will speak to Tom Thayer about that, about what he's going through, because McMichael is 60 pounds lighter. He is disabled in many way, shape, or form, and this is not a kind disease, not a disease that people tend to win. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a little bit up close on what's going on with McMichael, but we will as well talk about the NFL draft. Got a huge draft show coming up this week, Thursday. I had to think in my head what day the actual draft was. On Thursday, on WBBM, because we've got a Cubs game, on WBBM, our draft coverage, it's like everybody. Jeff Joniak, Thayer, Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, Chris Emma from 670thescore.com, me, I'll have my small role as well. But it will be a jamboree of Bears draft talk on Thursday, and I promise you throughout the weekend as well. So we have been preparing and getting, you know, all excited for the NFL draft, which is coming up. So we'll talk to Thayer again, 11:25. What Mark Hurd will be at noon today. We listen to and react to the hottest audio of the week as it pertains to our teams here in Chicago. We cover local sports right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I'm open to you more than ever because Stevie Sunshine is not here. I don't have a partner, so I will lean on you to provide me that comfort and partnership. If you would like to call or text, it's the same number, 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767. The man you will speak to if you do decide to call is Adam Studzinski, the Trash Panda, Studs. You can call him any of those things if you call. And he'll shake you down, and then we'll put you on the radio through Adam Studzinski, who is running the show as we speak. I'm on Twitter if you want to interact there. At Mark Grody Sports is the way to do it. Grody, G-R-O-T-E. Again, at Mark Grody Sports. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram.
Faceback.
Yeah, baby got faceback. I am on the Insta-G, too. I think right now, assuming that the time is that up, there should be on my story right now, Dave the Cat, who did have a successful day at the vet yesterday, had to get his weight checked because I've been an irresponsible owner throughout the pandemic, letting the cat eat the good stuff. So he's on a diet now. He lost a pound yesterday, which relative to cats is pretty good. He's got like 2 more pounds to go. But I think if you want to meet Dave the Cat, he's on Instagram. That's the kind of stuff I do on Instagram. So let's get rolling. Let's talk about baseball, man. I mean, I mentioned the Cubs, but actually I want to start with the White Sox and that game last night. White Sox over the Rangers, 9-7. First of all, there's lots of good, and I'm going to get into the good. I promise you. That is not the way you're going to win playoff games with a game like that for the White Sox, right? Like, you could have this game right now, what, 19 games in, the 19th game of the year, but that is not the blueprint to which the White Sox should subscribe on winning games, and that is the standard to which I hold them up. So I wouldn't say that if I didn't think the White Sox could do damage in the postseason. So that's first. You can't blow a 5-run lead. Aaron Bummer's got to get himself together. You can't make errors. You can't play defense that way. So that game last night, that ain't happening in the postseason. And that's the way I do measure the White Sox, whether they like it or not. All right, let's dig into some of the good. Okay, your mean Mercedes. I officially no longer know how to handle your mean Mercedes. It is this him? Is this what he is? Because every time I think it's going to start to come down to earth, like the story and all the records and the astonishment that has gone with your mean Mercedes this year, I keep thinking, all right, it's going to level off. You see him moving down the order. Tony pulls him out of a game recently. He gets days off. You're like, okay, it's normalizing. And Tony La Russa is preparing for the normalizing. And then he refills the story. That's what comes to my brain. He keeps refilling the story on his own because the rest of us just keep assuming that this doesn't have lasting power. I don't think anybody, like truly, even the most ardent White Sox fans, broadcasters, followers, as nice of things as they're saying about Yermín Mercedes, I think everybody knows that this is not what it is. Or is it actually what it is? Because I'm at a dumbfounded point when it comes to Mercedes, because he doesn't stop filling up the cup and giving us the story, and then all the little stats and the nuggets that come with a Yermín Mercedes story. It's just unbelievable. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I had answers before. I was pretty Joe broadcaster confident that, hey, this is not him. There's no way this is him. But now I just don't know. I just don't know anymore. And if you think you have a pretty good beat or rational thought on this, because right now I've lost it. I've lost it on Mercedes. I'd love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. And in particular, Mercedes last. Like, putting together good at-bats, too. It's not just the hits, it's the patience. Like, he's got this approach at the plate where he will work a 3-2 count. It's just his swing that throws you off, because he'll swing at ridiculous pitches and hit ridiculous pitches, so he appears to be undisciplined and erratic and wild, but not really, because he has something of a discerning eye as well, which makes him all the more complex when you actually watch his at-bats. That seventh inning RBI double to right center field against Kyle Cody, who, I don't know why they just kept marching Kyle Cody out there, but you know what? That's for Texas Sports Radio to figure out this morning, and them boys and girls. So, yeah, his approach is just, like, some of the things that Mercedes is doing right now, it's not just luck with his approach. And here's the other part about Mercedes. Pitchers are adjusting to him. The league, like, this is 2021. The league started to adjust to Yermín Mercedes after that first wild week he had. All right? I mean, teams are not stupid. They started to take him seriously probably 5 games into the season, and you see what they're trying to do to him, and he has that knack for hitting bad pitches. I mean, Steve Stone has pointed out and has been warning all along, and now we're seeing it. Yes, pitchers are going to try to do everything they can to keep Mercedes from barreling up, and guess what? Yermín has readjusted and returned the favor back to those guys. So I don't know. Is that a good answer? I don't know on Yermín Mercedes. All
right, I'm just convinced he's going to hit 400 at this point.
Like, maybe.
I think so.
He's over 400.
I mean, he just keeps hitting. I don't like. Maybe he has an off game, quote unquote, but then he goes out and does what he did last night, where he goes 4-for-4. So I think he's just going to hit 400.
I guess, you know, I think that is, but it's like not only do I wonder, not only do I find myself wondering about Happy Yermín, is he real for this year? And then what about beyond? Like, what if this is a case, like, they were throwing out some pretty top-notch, probably not quite parallels to Mercedes, like guys who figured it out later in their careers or became stars later in their careers, and I think David Ortiz was one of those names, although he hit the ball when he played in Minnesota. He just stopped playing defense when he went to Boston. So, I mean, there are comps, and I haven't really paid much attention to those because I just kept thinking, no, there's a novelty factor to this, and we've all seen this as baseball fans and followers of baseball. There are guys who start off ridiculously hot who you've never heard of, and then they come back down to earth. So now I'm wondering, is it this year? Is it beyond this year? Who are you, Yermín Mercedes? Who are you? If you're out there listening, tell us who you are. 312-644-6767. What a great mystery. And I don't know that there's a lot of, like, the real tight baseball people that can tell you either at this point. it's funny because one thing that I've been calling for with Mercedes is I kept saying, you can't, like, every time he comes up to bat, we can't, like, if you want it to become normal with Mercedes and you want him just to be treated as a normal guy who's a productive player in your lineup, every time he comes up to bat, we can't, like, go through the litany of greatness and what he's done and what a great story it is. Eventually, it just has to be. And you just have to say, like, okay, here is Jose Abreu, the way we treat Jose Abreu. Or here's Yoan Moncada, who's starting to swing it again. And it hasn't been that way. It's been like, well, here he is again. What's he going to do this time? And then it did start to normalize a little bit in terms of the way he is treated by us. And then he had four hits last night. And now here I am speaking at a 10 about Mercedes. So he is difficult to figure out, but it is fun to try to figure him out. From the 847, guys like J.D. Martinez, yeah, Nelson Cruz, Edwin Encarnacion, all late bloomers as well. Yeah. And yeah, I guess you could put those guys down too, no doubt about it. From the 815, half the suckage is better than no suckage. Thank you, Mailman Nuts. I appreciate that. From the 469, Mark, do you ever say to Dave the Cat, laugh it up, fuzzball? Well, I kind of just did. I don't. Oh, okay. Dave is sleeping on my bed right now. He's in the other room. Martinez and Cruz and Encarnacion, I'm starting to consider those possibilities and those comps, whereas before I thought it was kind of ridiculous to throw that around or any of this, to take any of this seriously, but maybe I am now. Dylan Cease last night, that first inning, like it became a classic Dylan Cease game. 32 pitches in the first, felt like he got squeezed on a couple pitches, but not really in the first inning. It was his doing. He lasted 3 1/3, allowed 2 runs on 3 hits, struck out 5, walked 3, gave up a home run, ended up with 80 pitches because of that 32-pitch first inning. And it's so worth bringing up because that's his bugaboo. We're going bugaboo today. That he gives up, he just can't quite attack the way he wants to, and everything just kind of looks nervous when Dylan Cease is pitching. There's this like air of insecurity when he's on the mound, and the White Sox defense, everything just, nothing looks quite right yet when Cease is pitching for the White Sox. In the for example, the kind of quintessential good and bad of Cease, like where he's got the stuff and then where he could give it up, all in like a sequence of a couple of pitches. The fourth inning, he has Cease a really nice strikeout of Adolis Garcia. Really nice strikeout. And then Solak hits that 2-run homer. White Sox lead trimmed to 3, 5-2 White Sox at that point. And Tony La Russa starting to figure out the rhythm. Oh, this is what we do. We take Dylan Cease out in the fourth inning. Yeah, I'm totally down with that. I've read about this. So La Russa makes the walk out there. It puts Evan Marshall into the game. So there's a weird rhythm when Dylan Cease is out there, and it's not necessarily good. He's still got the stuff. He's got the stuff, but he has not been able to rein in the stuff. Or maybe somebody needs to shake him and say, you've got the stuff. You could throw really hard. You don't need to nibble. Attack these hitters a little bit more. Don't throw so many pitches. That's what I have to say about Dylan Cease. More White Sox talk coming up a little bit later on, but we need to make room now for the former Bear, current Bears broadcaster, Tom Thayer. We'll talk about the NFL draft with him and one of his best buddies, Steve McMichael, who is very sick, and I know that he definitely resonates with lots of you Bears fans out there. Tom Thayer, Steve McMichael, that is. Tom Thayer, we'll talk about McMichael next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody back with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Solo Grody, no Rosenblum today. He will return at some point in time. When? I can't tell you exactly when. By the way, before we get to Tom Thayer, I'm looking at my trending site here on Twitter, and I see that Kopech is trending, and I'm now looking at it. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe Trash Panda, you could do a little digging and see why it is. And maybe that's not even Michael Kopech. I don't know. I just saw a little alert that said he is trending. And I don't know if that's a good thing to see. All right. Anyway, let's talk about the Bears with Tom Thayer and with the draft coming up. And Tom Thayer also happens to be very close friends with Steve McMichael, who unfortunately has been dealing with for the last 3 months a diagnosis of ALS, known to many, especially sports fans, as Lou Gehrig's disease. He is severely disabled. He has lost weight, in a wheelchair. He has to be helped with to be fed. It's not a good situation, and like I said, Tom Thayer joins me right now to discuss what's going on with Steve McMichael and the Bears. Tom, this has had to be a really tough time for you, and I assume that you've known about this probably since it started a few months ago. Would that be correct?
You know, not from the beginning, but I was aware of it, within the last couple months, and then, the more you learn about it, the more you know about it, the more familiar you become about it. But, you know, early in my life, I was introduced to this disease through a priest in my hometown had it. Mm-hmm. So then everybody, as you get older, you see the Lou Gehrig story on TV. And then, you know, now you don't put you don't know what to think about it, because now you have a priest and then you see the story of a baseball player. So you seem like this disease can affect anybody at any time, no matter what your role in life is. For me, the way I know Steve McMichael and the person that I have in mind and the persona that's, you know, bigger than life sometimes, you know, that's still the Steve McMichael that I know, but it is a disease that definitely has taken a toll. As everybody became aware yesterday and what he's fighting and what he's going through, it's just an extremely hard, tough battle. But I'm also inspired by his wife, Misty, who, and his daughter, Macy, for that matter, of the role that they've accepted and that they're taking in Steve's life, and how helpful and how compassionate they are. That's as inspirational as it is depressing to see what Steve's going through.
Can you describe as best you can, Tom Thayer, what he is going through, what he looks like, what he is able to do, what he is unable to do, just so people have a better picture of what this disease is and what Steve Mongo McMichael is going through?
You know, like you said, he's lost a considerable amount of weight. You know, he doesn't have any use of his arms or his hands. He's able to shuffle across the living room kitchen floor. And we usually sit at the kitchen table and just have story time or, you know, just remembrances of the good times. It's, I see Steve, like I said, I still remember the Mongo that I knew, the big hulking strong, you know, dominant force in the NFL, although, you know, with the weight loss and the non-use of his arms and everything, it's, you know, you can't hide it, you know. So I just try to, you know, carry a really positive story session whenever I do get a chance to be around him.
Yeah, I mean, look, McMichael is a guy who, he's a five-time Pro Bowler. I mean, this guy was an absolute force with the Bears from 81 to 93. And I know that just from talking to you, Tom, and getting to know you through the years, you've been saying this, like, for the last, any time I talk to you or it comes up, about how you think Steve McMichael should be in the Hall of Fame, don't you?
Well, it's, you know, for those of you that don't know Steve McMichael, and if you just look up the analytics, you look up the statistics, you look at what he was able to accomplish from one of the more difficult positions inside the world of football, which is a down defensive lineman, that you're getting hit by multiple bodies every single play. The numbers speak for themselves. You know, even if you had a football historian who read numbers of guys in the Hall of Fame, Steve is, he deserves it as much as any person from any team, because the numbers and what he's been able to accomplish speak for themselves. When you talk about performance, 191 straight games, and that doesn't include the playoff games he's played in. So, you know, durability, dedication, you know, what he meant to me on Sundays, because Steve practiced so hard and he was so committed to practices. When we would go out in the field out for game day Sundays, you know, we felt more confident because we practiced against Steve and the way he handled himself.
One thing that I'm curious about Steve McMichael, and we're talking to Tom Thayer right now, Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Steve McMichael diagnosed with ALS, so again, severely disabled at this point. One thing about him that I guess I never really thought about is that he's like a super smart guy, because he doesn't really put that out there. He doesn't have that, like, he kind of plays the dumb Southern guy, but he's actually pretty smart, isn't he?
He's incredibly intelligent, and I think one of the most intelligent thing that Ming has done throughout his whole life is he played that persona, more of the Mongo character that he played from the Blazing Saddles movie and stuff, and that's the way people perceived him, and he was a loud, humorous, control-the-room type of guy, and he had that Southern drawl that's immediately associated to the Western, the cowboy-type guy. And Steve is a super intelligent man, and more than just sports, more than just football, life itself. And that's why I've always appreciated every time that I've ever been able to be around Steve, including the last two times that I've gone to his house to see him. I appreciate his sense of humor. I appreciate his intelligence, and you know, he's attacked anything in front of him that life has offered him, from football to professional wrestling to singing on stage with the Chicago Six Band and Dan Hampton, and to what he's fighting through now. He's not naive to anything, and he's got a super approach that right now I admire most about him.
So the jocularity, the Mongo character is still there, like when you go over there. Or what is he like? Are there those real moments of, you know, as you just said, he's not naive, or is he still kind of like full Mongo? I'm going to be Mongo until if I am to lose this fight.
You know, the couple weeks ago, me and Jay Hildenberg, we walked into Steve's house, and as he shuffled across the room, you know, I kind of said, "All right, Jay, we finally got our opportunity. We're going to double team Ming like we always wanted to." He goes, "Oh, hell, I knew that's why you guys came over here. You finally got a chance to get me." And so, you know, he goes along with the moment. And you're not hiding the facts of anything. But as we go there as ex-teammates, we talk about the fun stories throughout our time together. But in football, some of the things you talk about now that are fun, it was hard work, and it was dedication. It was the effort that we all gave for each other back then. But, you know, you got to carry those stories to try to allow he and Misty's mind to escape from the reality of what's going on.
Well, we're all hoping and praying for a successful fight for Steve McMichael. And I appreciate you, Tom, giving us a little bit of insight, because I know this is sensitive and is private. However, McMichael, was there any reason that he chose to? I mean, I totally understand why he would have kept this private for 3 months, but was there a reason that he chose to come out and make this very public at this point? Was there any reason for that, or just that's what people
did? I'm sure there's rumors of it filtering out, and you know, with the world today, how unfair it is. As soon as somebody got knowledge of it, they were going to put it out there in social media some way, shape, or form. So I think Steve wanted you to hear it from Steve. And like you said, he's not going to be a public figure anymore. He's not going to be out there in the world. You know, he will be doing what he does in his house. He has the wheelchair that's going to give him access to move around. He just had opportunity to get a wheelchair accessible van that Misty can drive, and he can move around if he wants to. But You know, I guess I'm sure all of us, it's better to hear it from Steve than it is to hear it from a third party. And since Steve has come out with this story, I've had calls and messages from people all over the world, all over the United States, that they know of our friendship and us being teammates and stuff, and all the other guys that I played with the Bears. And when they see the story, they reach out to me in letting Steve know that they'll be praying for him. So I think it had an enormous impact on hearing it from Steve than if somebody else would have reported the story.
Yeah, no doubt. That's such a great point. He wants to tell it his way, so everything is out there, and it's not just a bunch of weird rumors and
right.
half-truths about what's going on. So good on Steve McMichael to do that and realize it. And he probably doesn't even realize it, but he's probably helping other people and other families and other people who are stricken with this awful disease, no doubt about it. And I know, Tom, that if McMichael is listening right now, I feel a force. He wants us to talk about the Bears draft right now. So that's what we're going to do, is make the switch over to the draft. The draft begins on Thursday. You and Joniak and me and Hub and Pompey and Chris Emma all going to be part of the draft extravaganza on Thursday night to be heard on WBBM radio. There's a million different directions I can go with you on this, but I will ask you this right now. Not necessarily if you have a specific player, great, but what position right now, let's say the Bears keep the 20th overall pick in the draft, what position would you like to see the Bears go with that pick?
You know, I want a plug and play. I want a dominator. I want a player that's going to be drafted at this level that he's played all the way through college. And to me, that always points to offensive tackle right now specifically. I think they have a lot of players that can play on the inside. They have a lot of interior talent. They got to go out and find that dominator, the guy that's going to lead the offensive line for the next 10 years. So if there was an offensive tackle that stood out, that's had a great deal of experience through his college career, I would look at that. Or else I would look at a dominating defensive lineman, a guy that you have to have multiple bodies concerned with when you game plan this type of player. You know, we see what Akeem Hicks is capable of. We're not really sure what Eddie Goldman is going to return to, and they've lost some players on the other side, even though they did sign Mario Edwards Jr. But when you talk about a defensive lineman, you're talking about a rotating position that you need, you know, 5 to 6 guys in there. And, you know, Mark, you've been doing sidelines, and every time we get ready to play a team that has a dominating defensive lineman, there's so much concern because he's so close to the football. He's so close to the quarterback every play. So I know it doesn't sound as sexy as some of these guys that are preparing to draft Trevor Lawrence or, you know, some of these other high-profile quarterbacks. However, the goal is to win the Super Bowl. And I think you can do more for the weapons that the Bears have by protecting them, opening holes in front of them, or getting the defense off the field to provide more opportunities for your offense.
I actually love the idea of if the Bears were to use 20 to get a defensive lineman or even a pass rusher. I mean, they aren't positions that I've zeroed in on as much as absolute needs, just because, and specifically on defense, just because of the cornerback position, Tom. And you obviously, I think you have a starter for years to come in Jalen Johnson. I'm pretty sure. I don't know that we could completely 100% say you're stable there, but I think so. And I'm not sure, like Desmond Trufant is a nice player. Artie Burns, we saw, you know, it looked like he was a guy who may have even earned a starting spot last year had he not gotten hurt in training camp. But would you be surprised if the Bears thought cornerback, CB, at number 20?
No, I mean, if that guy is there, you know, if you have that guy that's going to be a three-down defensive back, he's going to play press, he's going to play zone coverage, backed off man, whatever the case is, if that guy is there and you have him identified, as being what kind of required nowadays, unless you have the luxury of last year, like Green Bay drafting a quarterback that you know that's going to sit for a couple years. But the Bears don't have that luxury. They need a guy to come in here and contribute to week one game day roster. And if that guy is there, it would be hard to pass him up. But, you know, Ryan Pace has done a nice job in the last couple of years of evaluating these corners that maybe can come in the second or third round and provide, become a starter, hopefully immediately if the offseason is all as possible with the limited preseason with three games now. So, I think that is a position, Mark, that people look for all the time. It's one of the most difficult positions to fill. You know, Trey Roberson is another guy that's going to have an opportunity to compete for the other cornerback position, the talented defensive back that they signed out of the Canadian League last year that was injured. So they do have some candidates, but, if he was far ahead of any other guy that you had considered for that pick, I would go with it. I would be okay with it.
All right, two more quickies before I let you go, Tom Theron. I'm Mark Garrodi here on The Score. As far as another playmaker on offense, as in wide receiver, I like Darnell Mooney. Allen Robinson is great, but do they need to, from maybe second round on, do they need to collect a wide receiver or two still?
Recommendation for wide receivers, I want a wide receiver with size. I want a guy that's 6'2 or above to complement Allen Robinson. You know, there's so much uncertainty about Javon Wims and Anthony Miller. To me, I would like to put Tariq Cohen as a slot receiver, allow him to use his creativity and his threat from the line of scrimmage, put a ball into his hand in open space, and let him be the creator that he is. But so if I'm going to have a receiver on the other side of the field, there's a lot of candidates out there in this draft. I mean, there's like 40 receivers out there that are being evaluated, which is a high number. But, you have Bateman in Minnesota who's over 6'2". You have Collins in Michigan that's over 6'4". And you have an utter selection of guys out there that can be that size threat, to kind of take a little bit of pressure off of Allen Robinson and become more threatening with Cole Kmet, more threatening with Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery and Williams, the new running back they signed from Kansas City. They both have great hands. So you put a little bit more size in the line of scrimmage and you're immediately threatening against the defense you're playing.
All right, so I got to ask you too about Cohen. You mentioned putting him in the slot. I love that idea. Do you just say no more running back? Like, we're going to make you a slot receiver and kind of disguise you up and down the slot spot?
Well, I just think that he's more threatening against coverage when he gets a little bit of a running start and try to get into space rather than starting from the running back position and facing an eight or nine man front as soon as he becomes a running back. I'm not saying that, I wouldn't use him in maybe third down or certain down and distances against different, packages that you're facing defensively. But to me, I think when you go back and you look at when is Tariq the most dangerous in space on punt returns, now if you put him in space from the line of scrimmage as a receiver, I think he can become equally as threatening for big plays. And so I want to see the talents of Tariq Cohen get exposed. And I'm not a huge fan of him at the running back position because, like I said, I think Montgomery and Williams, and they have Ryan Nall still there, that those guys are capable of handling that position. Now that Cordero's not here, you need that, double weapon type of guy, and I hope a lot of it for Tariq starts from the line of scrimmage.
I like it, man. I really do, and I appreciate you coming on, talking draft, and talking about your buddy Steve McMichael, whom we're all hoping and praying for, and I hope you're ready for the six-man draft weave to be directed by our guy, Jeff Joniak, on Thursday.
I'm really looking forward to the draft, and like Steve McMichael, the last thing he said is if you hear his story, just say a prayer for him. And I think that's the best that we can all do right now. And, I just, let's all show him our love.
Amen, brother. Tom, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I will certainly see you and talk to you next week. Have a good one, man.
I look forward to it. See you, Mark.
All right. That is Tom Thayer, 85 Bear, current analyst for Bears Radio, and a frequent visitor to The Score, and to be part of our draft coverage on Thursday on WBBM, which will be going on all weekend. We're going to do another extravaganza show in this time slot next Saturday with many of the same voices. So we will hit you hard and well with our draft coverage here on 670 The Score. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, it will be What Mark Heard. We will listen to some of the best audio of the week and react to it, pertinent topics that affect your Chicago sports teams here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, so right before we had Tom Thayer on the show, Mark Grody in with you here till 12:45. I noticed on my Twitter page that Kopech was trending, and presumably it was Michael Kopech. And upon doing a little bit of research and Adam Studzinski looking it up, apparently last night at the White Sox game, White Sox Rangers, mind you, Home game. Guaranteed Rate Field, south side of Chicago. Beautiful ballpark. There were fans, apparently Sox fans, that were heckling Michael Kopech. And then you're like, why in the world would there be Sox fans heckling Michael Kopech? Like, he's had like one semi-shaky appearance that I've been able to calculate this year, and the rest of the time, he's been superb. I don't know what the grounds of heck, like, I don't even know. Like, oh, you opted out! Like, was it an opt-out heckle? I don't know why. And apparently, it got to the point where one of the hecklers, like, made herself public, and then White Sox Twitter went after her, or attempted to discourage her from her viewpoint, and then she deleted her account. Like, I can't make sense of the heckling of, I mean, is there any White Sox player who's heckle worthy right now? I mean, I know it hasn't been a great start, 10-9, but like, I'm like actually trying to think of some semblance of logic. Like, are there Mets fans left over from did they not go back?
Just
because there
general.
Was a lot of Mets fans in town recently, so maybe some of those New Yorkers doing this.
In general, the idea of heckling your own team, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, booing is one thing, but like heckling your own team. You're right. Like, even if your team, like, let's say the Sox sucked, you typically aren't going to heckle. Like, that's a different realm than being discouraged with a player. Booing a player and heckling are complete, they're not even related categories. Those are different things. Like, heckling is personal, and really, I don't know if I've ever heard of heckling your own guys. No. Discouraged? Boos? Disappointment? Loud sports talk radio? Yeah. But heckling? Nah. All right, we have a breaking phone call, 312-644-6767. What do we got here, Studs?
Toby's here.
Toby. What's up, Toby? Toby, 2 minutes.
Hey,
what's
Mark.
Up, buddy? How you doing,
How's
man?
How's it going, dude?
I'm doing well. It's a solo suckage today. No yeah. Rosie, so you got the bat call.
We could
apparently.
Heckle him. We could heckle. Can't even get this guy out of bed to do a show in his own house, and he's vaccinated. Who is this guy?
Hey, we'll connect your dots and we'll board your planes. Rosenblum can't even do sports talk radio.
I know
so,
he's
yes.
saying spitballs at a battleship over there right now. I know he's saying that in his house.
Oh, man. Yeah, I never thought of that. Here's the thing. Maybe like, I think this was like, man, this was probably 10 years ago. I remember that's how long Rosenblum and I have intermittently been doing this Saturday show. I remember, and you probably remember this being a P1 listener that you are, as faithful as you are, Toby, when I came up with a scenario of Steve Rosenblum being a dunk
Tank participant. And oh, yeah. The visual of that being like a, like imagine it being like downtown somewhere and the line like on Michigan Avenue looks like the new Jordans are about to drop. No, it's Steve Rosenblum. It's Steve Rosenblum in a dunk tank because everybody wants their shot. They're like
he would just be
it'd be every Chicago sports athlete and executive he's called out in the last 30 years.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And they're like they're actually camping out to get their spot and they're taking off work. They're like sacrificing their lives to try to dunk Steve Rosenblum, the caustic dot connecting journalist from the Chicago Tribune. I don't know if he's got the same bite or power that he once had because he's not ripping people on a daily basis, but he was the most worthy media person of all time to be put in the dunk tank.
Yeah, for sure.
This side of Dan Bernstein, of course, you know, I'm sure he would be the modern day winner, I believe. That visual, I couldn't get myself together after a while. Just around the people commiserating in the line, people freezing in the line. I just gotta dunk this guy. I just gotta. Yeah, and
people bonding in the line. What'd he do to you? What are you talking about with you? Oh, let me tell you what he said about me, this guy over here.
He said I should be fired. How dare he?
And then they fired me.
I'm picturing people like holding the old newspaper clippings. Like this headline in 1992.
Right.
Yeah, it's like laminated. It's
people don't forget, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to tell you, there are executives, trust me, who do hold on to such things. Not necessarily just from Stevie Sunshine Rosenblum, but yeah,
our guy.
Get your free shots at Rose. All right, Toby, I hate to cut you short, my man, but I'm glad it's wonderful to hear your voice. But the Trash Panda is telling me that we have to take a break so we can stay on time
all
at the
right.
radio station.
Didn't
all right,
even
buddy.
Get to talk about the Bears. But
I know. Well, you know what? Call next week because we're doing a whole Bears show. I promise.
Okay, I will.
All right, buddy.
You have a good one, Mark.
You're the best. Thanks, Toby. Love Toby. I know I couldn't let Toby be Toby because the visual of the Rosenblum dunk tank overcame me once again. All right, what Mark heard is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.